The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Unlimited broadband so you can download, upload and stream as much as you like.
At 9:26 this Good Friday morning, Christy Moore, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ryan.
It's nice to talk to you, and you are cocooning?
Yes, we're locked down in the cocoon and surviving.
What are you doing to stay sane and fit and, you know, just keeping it all together?
Well, I suppose trying to get a bit of structure into each day, trying to keep busy. I'm kind of on my knees in the garden waiting for the weeds to come up so as I can pull them. I have them all pulled now, so I'm waiting for the next ones to come along.
And there isn't a countertop unsterilized.
No, we're doing all the suggested things. We're doing our utmost to stay within the parameters of what's been advised.
Now, I noticed the questions come in for you. Will you take a couple of questions from listeners by text, if that's okay? Would that
work? Of course I will. Oh,
great,
yeah.
Thank you, Christy. 51551 if you want to. Have you noticed, Christy, like so many people have been saying, incidentally, in the last few weeks, the presence of birds in the air and on branches and near about the place?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they're much more aware of birdsong and the sound of birdsongs, and they seem to be conversing more freely than before, you know. And I gather they're now singing their full songs rather than just bits of them. They're singing their full phrases.
Really?
So I hear, yeah.
What a lovely thing. And what do you find in the middle of it all, Christy, if we do upside downside, what's the upside of the of this virus for you, time in terms of time and thoughts and processing?
Well, definitely there's a realization of the value of what we have and what we are given. There's more time to observe and to take it all in. And, you know, I'm enjoying a very peaceful time with my wife. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's all the other stuff going on outside the gate. The world is in mayhem and madness, and there's the fear, and there's the terrible worry and all the problems that people have out there. I mean, that's there all the time. But in the midst of that, there's the realization of there's goodness in the world, and there's hope and there's love. And so there's two separate things going on. There's the good and the bad.
And the bad is the worry, I suppose, because you've up to 700,000 of our fellow citizens now, you know, claiming government payments that they just don't want to be. They don't want to be in a queue. They don't want to be taking money from the government. Their jobs were just robbed from them.
Exactly. Yeah. Some people are in a very, very scary situation, you know. But I feel very proud of our health workers and our cleaners and nurses and doctors and leaders and shop staff and guards and all the majority of people are doing everything they can to look after the country it makes me feel so proud the way we have responded to this terrible crisis. And I suppose sad to hear about the miscreants who behave so badly. You know, I had a thought this morning hearing about the people who are flocking to the holiday places. I had this thought that, you know, those videos of people spitting at shop assistants and spitting at guards. And it's like as if those people are spitting at the nation. In a way, you know, they're saying, we don't mind, we're above all this. We're going to go away for the weekend. We're going to go out and we're going to keep our jollies going.
Yeah.
That makes me feel sad and frustrated, even a little bit angry sometimes.
Why do you think they're not paying heed to the warnings from the experts?
I mean, it's hard to know, Ryan. I mean, I'm 74 now. When I was 24, my behaviour was different, you know, than it would be now. There's a lot of madness and mayhem and wildness, and some people just do it out of, maybe it's alcohol-fueled sometimes. Other people just don't give a shit, really, you know. They don't. They just put their own selfish needs before everything else in the country. But thankfully, they're in a small minority, And yes. Their behaviour is becoming very visible now. We can all see them now.
And that's what people in these towns and villages have been saying, is we will remember who left their house empty and played by the rules, and we will remember those who came to see us, even though we asked you not to.
Yeah, it's so irresponsible. It really is.
Yeah, I was watching the news and I kept seeing faces that I'd met when we went along the Wild Atlantic Way for the last 5 years, all local representatives and tourism guys and you know, in Bundoran and in Donegal. And they were saying the most remarkable thing. They were saying, please don't come.
Yeah.
Please don't come to us. All their life they've been saying, please come. Come and visit us, and we welcome you, and we love that you have a home. We love that you're feeding the local economy, because you're wonderful. But for them to be saying on the news, do not come, please.
Yeah, and to ignore that is unbelievable, really. Yeah. It's hard to comprehend.
And yet, as you say, there is this extraordinary goodness that you keep seeing, like a beacon, whether they're the cleaning staff, the shop shelf stackers, you know, as well as then right into the hotel, the hospital porters, and then into the caterers, all of them, you know who I'm talking about, going in and out of work every single day, working all crazy hours, and all for the good.
We're absolute heroes, and let us not forget them when this is over.
For sure.
Let us remember, you know, and let us look after them as they're looking after us.
Let me give you some text, Christy, 51551. I've often wondered, Siobhan and Kerry wants to know, would you ask Christy, what was his first encounter with a guitar? Good question.
Hearing Liam Clancy lit the light within me. And Donal Lunny was the first person in Newbridge to get a guitar in the early 60s. And I was at a flat hole in Port Arlington. I was about 17 at the time. Mm. And I met a man called Ned Bulfin, and he sold me his guitar for £3 on the drip. And that was my first guitar. And I went around to Donal Lunny, and he taught me how to play the chords of C and G7.
Yeah.
And that allowed me to start singing Clancy songs.
Amazing. Did you become friendly with Liam Clancy then?
Our paths crossed.
Yeah.
And I was utterly inspired by the man.
Sure.
And his singing and his playing. And we slightly fell out one night over a few glasses. And unfortunately, never had the opportunity to embrace again before he passed. But I remember him with love and with fondness and gratitude.
Good. Yeah, great. I remember him coming in to sing Those Were the Days, My Friend, on Tubberty Tonight. And it was a rehearsal, and I couldn't believe the passion. It reminded me of yourself performing, that sense that you kind of live every song. Do you live every song?
Every song, indeed. If I could just remind myself that I was 18, I was at a flat hole in Bunclody, and it was a beautiful, sunny afternoon, and Liam Clancy was standing on the street with his guitar singing, I think it was The Streams of Bunclody, They Flow Down So Free, by The Streams of Bunclody I'm Longing to Be. And I remember it like it was just yesterday.
Really? It's amazing. I think it's the authenticity sometimes. You just can't fake it.
Yeah, yeah. And he was, you know, he was very special, as were his brothers and Tommy Makem.
For sure. And Kevin wants to know, could you ask Christy where he got the line from The Rose of Tralee, filling hot water bottles for Patrick Sarsfield at the Battle of can you recall where that line came from, or was it all a blur now?
No, it was just all a stream of consciousness.
Okay.
Filling hot water bottles for Patrick Sarsfield before the Battle of Clongowrie. It's all just a mishmash of, I don't know.
it was what it was, right?
Anyone for the last few chuck ices?
Please ask Christy. This is an odd one, but I'll ask you anyway. Darren said, can you ask Christy, what do you recommend to overcome financial worry? I mean, you would have had a time in your life, and I'm no doubt when you were a struggling artist, when you were worried about making ends meet. Can you help this person?
Well, for me at the moment, everything is one day at a time,
okay.
You know, and I really don't know how to answer that question. I mean, the government seem to be doing the best they can to look after those of us who are most needy at the moment. And we don't know what the future holds, but the signs are good in Ireland compared to other countries. You know, I think we've handled this crisis really well. You know, it's just to see our leaders come on the television looking bedraggled and exhausted, but not talking nonsense like other leaders have done.
Indeed.
You know, one day at a time, and let's have hope and let's have confidence in those who are helping us through.
Yeah, well said. Could you thank Christie for the last 50 years for the joy he's given to us all? The nation's true storyteller, from Stephen in Dublin. And Cynthia and Clonus says, I really enjoyed Christie's Missing You song on the Nobody's Own podcast, which I have to agree with her. It kind of punctuated that wonderful podcast with great poignancy and nostalgia in a way every time I heard it. Have you had a chance to hear the podcast back, Christie? Or?
Yes, I've heard the first three episodes. And of course, that wonderful song was written by Jimmy McCarthy, the songwriter from Macroom, who's given us such beautiful songs.
Great. I'm glad you mentioned him this morning because he's, as you say, one of the great songwriters of our time. Christie, I'll never forget the Three Arena. Wonderful. Thank you. So that's just a simple thank you. I'm just reading The Humours of Planxty by Leagues O'Toole from 2007. I'm loving it. So thank you, Christie, for all the music. I had a ticket, says text, to see Christie in the National Concert Hall in June, which is now cancelled. How are you going to handle your cancelled gig situation, Christie? I wasn't aware of where... Are you replaying or tickets...
No, basically, we've cancelled rather than rescheduled, and when the coast is clear, and if we're all fit and able, we will handle them with passion and with joy, and we'll give it our very best. And I'm so sad that people have been, you know, disappointed, and we certainly have been disappointed, but there are much more important things to do at the moment than worry about gigs.
And like President Higgins, are you a yoga man?
I have my own kind of Kildare version of yoga.
And what's that now when you're at home?
Oh, stretch, and try and tip my toes and try and reach out. And I just have... when Carl Henry was a very young lad, I knew him, and before he started doing any of the work he does now, he gave me some stretches and some ideas, and 15 years later, I'm still stretching and stretching.
Are you missing the sea?
Yes. Yeah, I miss getting out for the walks, and I miss tramping the pier, but most of all, I miss hugs, and I miss... been able to hug my grandchildren and our children, and you know, I miss that, but at least we can talk to each other on the phone, and once a week my son brings and his wife brings the two grandchildren, and they park outside and we talk to them from the hall door, and that can be the highlight of the week.
Yeah, I think it's probably the highlight of the week for everyone, grandparent fortunate enough to have it. What a bizarre, a kind of iconic image for our time as well, that idea of that socially distant visit.
And if I may say to Sonny and Sylvie, I love you both and I'll see you soon and might even have an Easter egg for you.
Well, here's hoping. Christie, it's all about hope, isn't it?
It's all about hope, Ryan, and it's all about doing the suggested things with compassion and with love and with care. And here's to a good future.
I'm tempted to let you go, but there's some good questions here, and I'm going to hang on to you for five more minutes, and then I'll leave you alone. Did Christie ever work with the late John Prine?
I met John Prine twice. I met him at a BBC Awards show in London, and I met him getting off a plane in Shannon Airport. And he stopped both times, and we talked, and he was the most gentle and beautiful of men. And, you know, I mourn his passing and remember him fondly.
Christie, do you have many hobbies?
No, not really, Ryan. You know, I tend to sing and play each day. I'm revising and I'm going back over old songs, and I'm rehearsing my repertoire to keep it fresh for when the time comes. I watch a lot of television, I listen to a lot of radio, and that's kind of it, really.
That's nothing wrong with that. And what series has you had you hooked most in the last few months, TV-wise?
Oh, dear me.
That's a hard one.
Sunderland on Netflix.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's great.
the simple things. You caught me on the hop there.
I know, that's okay. Well, I'll catch you again. Will you write a song about this pandemic, Declan and Wexford? Have you penned a few thoughts in lyric-wise?
I have, but nothing has come. I came across a song this morning in my revision, a song that I recorded over 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's kind of perfect. It was written by Jerry Murray from Charlestown, and it's called The Least We Can Do. And the least we can do is make the world a better place, not just for a few, but all the human race. To end wars and quarrels, make John Lennon's dream come true, to build a new set of morals, it's the least that we can do. A song from 30 years
Beautiful.
Ago,
Gosh,
and
it's
just a song for today.
It's a song for today. I was at a Donovan's gig, says Teresa, in the Hangar in Galway, where Planxty did support and took over the whole show. Thank you
wow.
for all the years. I mean, do you remember that?
50 years ago,
holy
I do.
Smoke. Gosh, I've seen Christy many years over the years, many times, says Paul in Waterford, but I remember a night in the West End in London years ago when halfway through a song, the drunken Paddy raised his head and kept shouting requests, and Christy stopped the song and told him that people paid good money to listen and he could go back to the box office, get his money and get out. Christy Moore, the voice of reason and hope. Love the man. Stay well, says the text. Ryan, great. Loving Christy. My favourite was Joxler Goes to Stuttgart. Again, wonderful lyric. Christy's album Live at the Point accompanies me on my hour-long walk every day. Thank you not just for the music but for your wit and tenderness and love of our people and culture, says Michael Martin in Cove. And another says, I heard the Dawn Chorus this morning like I've never heard it. It was like all the birds wanted to be heard, reminding me of my family all talking at the same time. I long for those gatherings again. What a lovely comparison. Will you tell Christy my husband proposed to me singing The Voyage 26 years ago? So that's another song. I know that the Ray Darcy Show named that as the song for Ireland to help get us through these tough times. This is
written by Johnny Doohan.
Johnny Doohan. And a song that, of course, you brought to our world. And in other words, last text says, my uncle passed away a couple of years ago, played a lot with Christy, so we grew up on his music. So RIP to Ollie Francis. I'm just wondering, had Christy any more memories he can tell it? I won't put you on the spot, but Christy, it's been great to talk to you this morning, and your words are soothing and welcome. And, you know, don't be a stranger. Let's talk again soon.
And thank you, Ryan Tuberty, for all you have done.
Now, would you stop now? Listen, we'll keep going. I'm going to play a song of yours that I love. So stand by. Get the tea on. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, man.
Mind yourself.